Welcome to the February episode of our IASB Updates podcast, where we bring you updates from our latest IASB meeting. I am Neely Shaw, Executive Technical Director at the IASB. And joining me today are Andreas Barco, Chair of the IASB, and Linda Mazan-Hutter, Vice Chair. So we've just finished our February 2025 board meeting, where we discussed six current projects. In addition to our regular IASB meeting, this month we also had a joint session with our sister board, the International Sustainability Standards Board, or ISSB, to discuss one of our projects, climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements. In this episode, we'll discuss four of the six projects that we covered at this month's meeting. Those projects are 1, financial instruments with characteristics of equity, or FICE, 2, intangible assets, 3, amortized cost measurement, and 4, climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements. So let's start with FICE. This project aims to clarify the often blurry line between financial liabilities and equity on a company's balance sheet, especially when looking at hybrid instruments, so those financial instruments that have characteristics of both debt and equity. Back in November 2023, you may remember that the IASB issued an exposure draft proposing clarifications on how companies would apply the principles in IAS 32, Financial Instruments Presentation, to help companies when classifying financial instruments as either financial liabilities or equity. The IASB also proposed changes to presentation and disclosures. The comment period on this exposure draft closed in March 2024, and since then, the board has been carefully considering feedback from our stakeholders. Andreas, can you update us on recent developments since then?
For sure. So in October 24, we started our re-deliberations on two topics in the exposure draft. The first was the presentation of equity instruments in the financial statements, and the second area was the disclosures about financial instruments to help investors make informed decisions. Stakeholder feedback on the proposed presentation and disclosure requirements was generally mixed. Users of financial statements largely supported the proposed presentation and disclosure requirements, emphasizing their need for clearer and more disaggregated information about an entity's financial instruments, particularly in relation to the statement of profit or loss. Preparers acknowledged the need for improved disclosures, but expressed concerns about the volume of disclosures, complexity, and operational challenges in preparing the information. At the February IASB meeting, we discussed potential changes to the proposed presentation and disclosure requirements in response to the feedback on the exposure draft and to some board members' concerns about the initial recommendations by the staff put forward in October last year. The staff presented 3 potential approaches for the presentation of equity instruments to address the core demand for greater insights into financial instruments that participate, or not, in the variability of an entity's performance. So ordinary shares, other participating instruments such as preference shares, non-participating instruments, and NCI. The staff also sought to leverage as much as possible from already existing terminology in IAS 33 to avoid creating inconsistencies between IAS 32 and IAS 33 to minimize cost for preparers. Whilst the board was not asked for a vote and alternatives were taken off the table at this stage, the board expressed a clear preference for the so-called bridge approach that aims at combining the benefits of the other two in a single presentation model for the income statement. The staff also presented further refinements to the proposed disclosures on the nature of priority of claims, the terms and conditions, and the potential dilution of ordinary shares. Again, the board was not asked to make any decisions at this meeting. Going forward, the plan is to discuss these potential changes with our consultative groups. For example, we will discuss the proposals with ASAF in late March. We will also seek their input on the timing of finalizing these amendments, that is, whether to expedite the amendments related to presentation and disclosures before finalizing the amendments related to classification. This would enable entities to apply them at the same time as they first apply IFRS 18, our standard on presentation and disclosure in financial statements, which is effective for annual periods beginning on or after 1st January 2027. The staff will then consider the feedback from the consultative groups before bringing their recommendations to the IASB for decision-making at a future meeting, so stay tuned.
Thank you, Andreas. So let's move on to the second project we wanted to discuss today, intangible assets. In today's rapidly evolving business landscape, intangible assets, so things like brands, technology, customer relationships, and intellectual property, are often key drivers of a company's value. Our current standard for intangible assets, IAS 38, was developed more than 20 years ago, and thus may not be fully equipped to capture the nuances of these valuable intangible assets. Following the IASB's third agenda consultation, where stakeholders highlighted the importance of this topic, in April of last year, we launched our intangible assets project to comprehensively review IAS 38 and determine how to ensure that financial statements provide investors with the most relevant information about a company's intangibles. Since we started the project in April, we've been reaching out to stakeholders to gather their perspectives on the project's objective, scope, and the best approach for tackling this complex area. Linda, can you take us through some of the feedback and our findings from our engagement so far?
I would love to do that. So in October of last year, I'll remind you that the board discussed the initial feedback we received from our stakeholders. And after that meeting, the staff continued consulting stakeholders to make sure that we get input from all stakeholder groups and geographies. We also launched two surveys, one that was designed for users of the financial statements to get their input, and then the other one was designed for other stakeholders. And we wanted to obtain feedback on identifying the problem to be solved in the project, scope of the project, and the approach to our work. I'm really pleased to say that we had over 270 responses to the two surveys. And before I say anything else, I'd really like to say that we thank you. We thank you, thank you to those stakeholders who took the time to complete the surveys or take part in outreach. You've provided us with a wealth of information on which to base our decisions for the way forward for the project. So at the February meeting, the ISB discussed the updated summary of feedback from the outreach, as well as stakeholder responses to the surveys and other evidence gathered at the initial stage of the project. While it's true we've heard diverse perspectives on the challenges in reporting on intangibles, we have started to identify some themes in the feedback on the problems we should be looking at. Many stakeholders told us that IAS 38 is outdated and struggling to keep up with the new types of intangible assets, like cryptocurrencies, or new ways of accessing them, like cloud computing. We also heard that financial statements do not provide sufficient information about intangible assets or expenses on intangible items, and that makes it very difficult for the investors to understand how intangible assets contribute to future cash flows and value creation. When it comes to what needs to be tackled first, it's clear to say we've heard a variety of views, but we also have some front runners. Better disclosures about intangible assets emerged as one of the priority requests. For example, users of financial statements are often calling for more detailed information about a company's intangible assets, even those not currently recognized on the balance sheet. So there's also strong interest in exploring the specific application issues related to newer types of intangible assets. Other topics that received reasonable support were reviewing the definition and recognition criteria for intangible assets and looking at improving comparisons between internally generated and acquired intangible assets. As for the approach to this project, the stakeholders expressed differing views. Most stakeholders prefer focusing on the priority topics only or completing the project in phases. This means tackling specific aspects of IAS 38 first, such as disclosures or practical application challenge. This approach allows for a more manageable process, but on the other hand, some stakeholders lean towards a more comprehensive review. They believe this would ensure consistency and help avoid piecemeal changes. Overall, the feedback indicates a strong desire among stakeholders for timely improvements.
Thanks, Linda. So do a lot, but do it quickly.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. That's completely doable.
Yeah.
So then what's next for this project?
Well, at a future ISB meeting, the staff plan to provide their analysis of the feedback and other evidence presented at this meeting. They will also identify and present possible ways forward on the project for the ISB to consider. At this stage, the staff don't expect to develop a detailed timeline for the project. Instead, they plan to set out views based on the evidence collected. These views will focus on broad groups of topics. The staff will suggest how the ISB might consider these broad groups. Now, we acknowledge that the feedback on many areas that we received so far was mixed. However, we think sufficient evidence has been gathered to to develop possible ways forward. After discussing the options for the ways forward with the IASB, the staff planned to seek the views of the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum members in March of 2025. This will happen before the IASB makes its decision on the project's direction. So there's lots of exciting work ahead of us.
Great. Thank you, Linda. So let's now move on to our amortized cost measurement project. In September 2024, we began this project in response to feedback from stakeholders on the post-implementation review of IFRS 9. In the September meeting, we discussed the staff's preliminary views on the objective for this project, the potential approach for the project, and an initial list of topics that might be included in the scope. During 2024, during the fourth quarter of 2024, we then consulted our consultative groups, seeking input on whether the project objectives, approach, and the scope we discussed would adequately respond to stakeholder concerns about amortized cost requirements. Linda, can you share some insights from the February board meeting?
Oh, happy to. So at the February meeting, the staff presented the feedback from the consultative groups alongside the analysis of that feedback and set out the next steps for this project. And it's good to know that overall, the feedback from the consultative groups aligned with the IASB discussion, supporting the objectives we'd already identified. Now, those objectives are, first of all, clarification of amortized cost measurement requirements to help reduce accounting diversity. And by that we mean is, what elements are people including when they compute amortized costs? Because people do it differently. Clarify interaction between IFRS 9 requirements on amortized cost measurement and the impairment requirements. And a common theme these days, they want us to do this in a very timely manner. So what will happen next? Both IASB and consultative group members suggested seeking input from preparers on the reasons for different accounting practices regarding amortized cost measurement. In particular, to distinguish between practice issues that arise because IFRS 9 is silent or unclear versus issues that arise because IFRS 9 requirements are viewed as operationally complex. Making this distinction would then assist the IASB in effectively deliberating issues and exploring potential solutions. Accordingly, we plan to perform some outreach meetings with groups of preparers across different industries, such as banks and traditional corporates, and also different geographic regions. It's important to ensure we involve financial services on one side, but traditional corporates on the other side, because often the areas of focus are different. As well, we need very much to seek input at this stage from different jurisdictions, because often the areas of diversity have developed over time due to past practices in these different geographies. It's the old story, but I've always done it this way. So we need to understand the rationale for the differing interpretations and practices to ensure we have a full perspective on possible ways forward, as well as understanding the degree of change we might be imposing. We also discussed an indicative plan for deliberating issues on this project. The staff plans to present analyses of various topics to the IASB throughout 2025, with discussions expected to continue into the first quarter of 2026. This extended timeline is to account for the interdependencies between these topics. So again, I urge you, stay tuned.
Thank you, Linda. So let's move on to our final topic today, and that's the IASB's project on climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements. You might recall that this project started in March 2023 because of strong demand from respondents to our third agenda consultation. These respondents were concerned that information about the effects of climate-related risks in the financial statements was sometimes insufficient or appeared to be inconsistent with information a company provides outside its financial statements. To address these concerns, this project aims to explore targeted actions to improve the reporting of the effects of climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements and bring about improvements in a timely manner. Again, timely. Andreas, can you tell us a little bit more about the actions taken in this project?
For sure. So the main action the IASB took to address these concerns was publishing the exposure draft, climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements, and proposing 8 illustrative examples on how companies can apply IFRS accounting standards to report the effects of climate-related and other uncertainties in their financial statements. We did so because the board believed that our existing literature already addresses when and how such risks ought to be reflected in the financial statements, albeit in a principles-based manner. It's important to note that these examples are not changing existing IFRS accounting standards. They're simply illustrating what's already required. Our research confirmed that IFRS accounting standards are already quite robust in requiring the accounting for climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements. What has been missing, though, is some help in applying those requirements. The examples are grouped into three categories. The first category is about making materiality judgments. Examples 1 and 2 illustrate how a company considers qualitative factors, including connections to information it provides in other general-purpose financial reports, in determining whether information is material and should be disclosed. The second category, which includes examples 3 to 7, is about illustrating how a company would disclose information about how assumptions and other sources of estimation uncertainty affect their assets and liabilities. And finally, the third category is about the disclosure of disaggregated information, which is illustrated by example 8. The comment period for the exposure draft closed in November, and we would like to thank our stakeholders for their feedback. We received over 120 comment letters. And we also undertook a series of outreach activities, engaging with the IASB's consultative groups and conducting one-to-one meetings with global stakeholders from different professions and sectors. So a big thank you again to all of you. In developing these examples, the IASB collaborated with members and technical staff of our sister board, the ISSB. This collaboration helps strengthen connections between the information a company provides in its financial statements and information it provides in other parts of its general purpose financial reports. Given the relevance of this project to the IASB's work, both boards held a joint meeting to discuss the summary of the feedback on the exposure draft. Board members of the IASB and the ISSB were not asked to make any decisions at this meeting, but the feedback will no doubt help the IASB decide the project direction at future meetings. It will also help the ISSB consider any implications on its work and will help both boards consider implication of the feedback on their connectivity-related activity.
So, thank you, Andreas. So, can you elaborate on the feedback that we received and what that suggests for the board in terms of next steps?
Sure. So, overall, the feedback shows that most respondents generally agreed with providing examples and with including them as illustrative examples accompanying IFRS accounting standards. Most respondents also generally agreed with the ISB's approach to developing the examples, including the selection of requirements and the fact pattern illustrated in the examples. Many respondents commented, however, on some aspects of the approach, particularly on the balance between examples on climate-related uncertainties and examples on other uncertainties. They also asked for more examples and illustrations. Many respondents shared concerns about some aspects of the technical analysis or made suggestions on some examples. In particular, respondents expressed mixed views about whether and how to proceed with examples 1 and 2. And finally, many respondents commented on connectivity. Most of these respondents said more should be done to improve connectivity in general purpose financial reports and to address inconsistencies that might appear to exist between those reports. Board members appreciated the rich and helpful feedback and were encouraged to seek support for finalizing the examples. Based on that feedback, board members generally expressed support for finalizing the examples, even though more work will be needed to address stakeholders' concerns, and particularly on examples 1 and 2. The board also noted stakeholders' desire to move at pace to the degree that is possible, and the need to keep the scope of the project narrow and focused, as you said, Nelly.
Great. Thank you, Andreas. So both the IASB and ISSB members and staff will continue collaborating on this and other projects, so stay tuned. Our technical staff also plans to discuss the project with the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum in April to seek ASAF members' views on the project direction. We expect the IASB to decide the project direction later in Q2 2025. In addition to this, if you want to stay updated on the connectivity activities at the IFRS Foundation, please do visit our new connectivity page on our website, where you can find the latest news and useful information. For example, our connectivity page includes a link to a webcast series in which we discuss how applying IFRS accounting standards and IFRS sustainability disclosure standards together results in complementary and connected reporting information. We really recommend you checking it out. So with that, listeners, thank you for joining us in this podcast. We look forward to bringing you further updates on these projects as well as other ones in the future. Stay connected with us through our website and social media channels for the latest news and updates, and we hope you can join us in March. Thank you.
Cheerio.
Bye.